of Scotland, to the spiritual splendor that is Augusta, grab a seat, grab a glass, and punch your ticket to the power train.
15 players have won the Tour
Ladies
Championship.
Ladies and gentlemen, your 12:55 tee time.
These two gentlemen are the only
Windermere,
two in the field who
Florida,
have won the Tour Championship.
Winner of 34 PGA Tour events, including the 2002 Masters Tournament, the U.S. Open, the Bay Hill Invitational, the Buick Open, the American Express World Golf Championship.
All right, all right. We know.
Good for him. Good for him.
And we are back, episode 22. Our first deep dive, and guess who? Tiger Woods and Strat. We got Strat. What's up, boy?
Hey, I'm back. Tiger's back. Tiger's back is back.
It's all back, except for Serm. Serm's not here. This is a duo. We don't know where he is, but, you know, we're going to make him proud. So, a lot of buzz, obviously. All the pods out there are talking about Tiger. We thought, you know, instead of just talking about the tournament and predicting how many majors he would win this year, you know, other than four, we figured we'd take a little deep dive. We'd go back into the history. We'd tell you some things you didn't know, some stats, favorite moments. We'll go even deep with a little doc talking about fusion.
Mm.
And we'll end with the soundbite from Chap, from his experience with Tiger a few weeks back. So should we just – well, actually, what are you drinking? I got to ask you, the Cart Girls here. What are you drinking?
Well, I just got a new bottle of Basil Hayden's Dark Rye that, quote, is touched by port-aged barrels. And I got to say, it's delicious.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm doing my classic drink. I don't think I've had it on the train yet, but I got it tonight. You got that sparkling water, fresh lime, and tequila.
Wow, really going outside the box.
Yeah, Sunday nights, you know, going hard.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. All right, let's start with the top five reasons Tiger is climbing faster than Bitcoin.
Yeah, and I think that's a great place to start. You know, this certainly isn't Tiger's first comeback, and I think we all wait with bated breath when we hear that he's decided that he's going to pull out the sticks again and hit the links. Sure. But this one feels a little bit different, and I think everyone else would agree. So we've got our top five reasons why Tiger is climbing faster than Bitcoin.
Is Tiger the new Bitcoin?
I've heard there's rumblings that he's creating a cryptocurrency. Stay tuned.
Yeah, I hear it's growing really fast. All right, go ahead.
Stay tuned. Okay, number one. Probably the most noticeable right off the bat, the goatee is gone, okay? Statistics have shown the PGA goatees equal tragedy, death. You will never win with a goatee. You can go dirty blonde mustache, John Daly. You can go uncomfortable chin holster, David Duvall. Or you go full mountain man like DJ. But as a numbers guy, you know I'm a numbers guy.
Uh-huh.
You have a statistically better chance of hitting a knockdown 8-iron 305 yards than you do of winning a major when you've got a goatee.
I couldn't have said that better myself. The knockdown 8-iron 305 is kind of a prerequisite. So
I mean, it's one of my stock shots. You got to have it in the bag. And you just can't do it when you're wearing that when you got that goatee.
Yeah, I saw that shot this morning. It was real cold. Knockdown 8-iron 305. Real useful shot.
It's a great way to warm up.
Number two for me. Simply, the clothes have been tailored.
Ooh.
Okay, I have it on good authority from my tailor's former master apprentice.
Oh.
That Tiger's requested an extra quarter inch of breathing room in the crotch and the armpits for what I'm told are the, quote, ideal fist-pumping specifications. So Tiger roar is looming.
Wow. I mean, you can't pump those fists without a little bit of breathing room. Wow. Okay. All right. Number three. This one is a shocker to a lot of people. Call of Duty online play rates in Jupiter, Florida have plummeted. Okay. I got a guy inside the server farm at Xbox who's telling me that Tiger is the sole reason for this. Okay. He's off the Xbox Army joysticks, back on that Scotty flat stick. Things are looking good. A lot of buzz.
Yeah. And it's back to World War II, the game. I mean, wow.
I mean, microtransactions, he's not interested. He wants big boy transactions on the golf course, okay?
Okay, that's a good one. Number four, the Perkins waitresses have been noticeably happier.
Oh,
the
yeah.
table service has suffered, and sure. getting a refill on a Mick Ultra takes longer. Yeah. But okay. all the Pretty Perkins servers seem to be beaming and wearing a lot more expensive jewelry. Coincidence?
I mean, I think we know how that story goes. I think we know how it ends, and I'm all for it.
All right, why don't you bring us home with Cinco?
Yeah, I mean, it's an easy one. He's Tiger fucking Woods, y'all, okay? Mm-hmm. He's got more wins than he can remember, and he once challenged a taxidermy snow owl to a staring contest, and he fucking won, okay? The guy craves competition. He's a fucking psycho, and I don't care if the entirety of his spinal column is replaced with a Louisville slugger. If he's in the field, there is a chance that he's winning it.
You know, speaking of a Louisville slugger infusion, you know the pros in Major League Baseball switched to wood, right? Wooden
yeah.
bats. The
oh, yeah.
ball was going too far. Yeah. And I think it's a great segue because that's all everybody was talking about. Obviously, mm-hmm. he's, you know, the whole thing with him and DJ playing with Trump. He said Tiger was blowing it past DJ. DJ then came back and said, no, whoa, buddy. You know, he hit it past me sometimes, but not all the times. Should we talk about Tiger's distance? Because a lot of people are saying, yeah, he was hitting it really far in the Hero World Challenge where, you know, you saw it 330 a couple times and you're like, holy shit, he's actually compressing the ball. He's not just saying it. But I was curious, and you know I got stats in the blood.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Lee at ESPN.
Yep.
And so I got my stat boy in the house and I said, hey, Lee, how does the career distance ranks compare to the Hero World Challenge?
Oh.
And we found some interesting information.
Yeah, I believe I remember this. Go ahead.
So at the Hero World Challenge, he averaged 299.3 yards off the tee, which
wow.
is a little bit less than I was expecting, but, you know,
yeah.
law of averages.
Mm-hmm.
So then since 1997, we went back and we were like, okay, how many seasons since 97 did he average over 299.3 yards, which is what we saw at the Hero? Only 6 years since 97 did he average more yards than that. Now, obviously, you know, the ball and the equipment was different back then, so take this with a grain of salt. But we do see some commonalities in the years that he drove the ball over 299 yards.
We sure do.
And I believe the recap is over 6 years, 28 wins, 5 majors. And
yeah.
do you want to tell the folks what happened in 2005 when he went from 301.9, which was ninth on tour in 04, average distance off the tee, to 2005, a jump, an unparalleled jump to 316.1 yards, which ranked second on tour. What happened, Stratch, from 2004 to 2005?
Well, this should come as no surprise. I think everybody remembers it, but Nike unveiled the Sasquatch driver.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, good old Sam Squanch. It was impossible to not hit that thing 420 yards on a bad day. So, I mean, no surprise there. It was an equipment thing.
I mean, it was square.
Yeah.
It's a square driver, you know. So it's so basically, folks, if you want a takeaway here, he's driving the ball as long as ever, and he's probably going to win 28 times and 5 majors, including the players, this year, because we're throwing that in as the 5th major.
Yeah, that's what I took from that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. The other thing that is interesting that not many people are talking about is we've heard about how's he going to come back from the knee surgeries plus all the back surgeries plus the chipping yips, not being able to practice as much, the rust, the drug addictions, sex addictions, you name it. The one thing we haven't talked about is the fact that he is playing for the first time really in front of his kids, where his kids actually know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I've got the guy on the phone that's the father figure on the par train.
Yeah.
He's got a little Soren.
Yeah.
You're the only father here. So
yep,
how much of a role, since you're an expert, how much of a role do you think it's playing that Tiger's kids have never seen him be great on the course? That has to be a big motivator for him to finally show them that he's not just a guy on YouTube.
Yeah, you know, I think given that, you know, he was crumpling to the floor when he attempted to pour a box of Lucky Charms into his children's cereal bowls in the morning, I think being able to actually play competitive golf and at a competitive level is a hell of a motivation. I know for my kid, you know, my sprint time from the front door to the donut store has probably dwindled a little bit in recent months. But, you know, I started to roll out the IT band, and I'm doing a lot more physical therapy, really working on that core, getting it back to pre-child levels. And, I mean, that time is dropping, and there is a noticeable change in the power dynamic between me and my 2.5-year-old. So, you know, from personal experience, I can tell you it feels damn good, and I can all but guarantee he's feeling exactly the same as I do.
So you're saying that it's not being with the boys, it's not getting back to the top, it's just winning in front of his kids.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
the
number one motivator.
He, I've heard his kids are getting hassled by Vijay Singh's kids at school. And I mean, yeah, exactly. He heard that and he sprinted to the fusion specialist to get that fusion done ASAP.
Tell Vijay to watch it. Work on the parenting, mind your own business, and just focus on your water brand. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Heard it here first. Went in front of the kids. Number one motivator for Tiger Woods.
It's a big one. It's a big one.
Okay. Top three favorite Tiger moments ever. We're going to switch off.
Yeah. And this is, I mean, like, look, this is one of my favorite things to do. It seems cliche, but when you do, speaking of being the YouTube golfer, when you go on YouTube and you watch these shots, I will watch almost all of these and still giggle like a fucking child.
It's
when
hard
I watch
to remain calm.
It is. It gets you jacked up. And I'm jacked up after what I saw at Hero Challenge. Okay. All right, I'm going to chill. I'm going to get back to neutral, reset the chakras. I got number one, 2000 WGC NEC Invitational.
Oh, wow.
Tiger won by like 2 million strokes. I think he finished 427 under. But he famously hits his final shot in the fucking twilight to about 2 feet with the trees in the background, sun setting. He orders a bottle of Pinot Grigio and an Ambien to go before taking the victory and trotting off with the WGC purse. It's a thing of beauty.
Mm. Well, same year.
Shocking. Shocking.
PGA Championship final round. This is a popular pick. I feel like a bit of a cop-out, but it's still an unbelievable moment. I had to say it. The final round walk-in putt when he's pointing at the hole.
Oh.
The announcer says he's actually running after it. Yeah. Then he does the fist pump and he yells woo as loud as he can and walks off the green. Wow.
I mean,
you were talking about getting fucking jacked. You should watch that before every round.
Yeah, and I actually, I still to this date have never seen a putt of mine fall in after I pull that same move. So I'm still waiting for that to happen on my own. It seems like a curse at this point, but it's going to happen one time where I point it in, and I will sprint off the fucking course when it happens.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that because I will break your 7-iron in half when it happens. All right, just number two.
Okay, number two. This should come as no big surprise. When Tiger Woods just basically destroyed Rocco Mediate's will to live at Torrey Pines. It was the U.S. Open. It was, I believe it was around Father's Day, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
It was a display of golf skill and competitive fury, the likes of which have rarely been seen. And, of course, not to mention he was essentially playing on one leg because his knee was giving out. But, you know, the next day, everyone kind of tends to forget Rocco had to show up the next day for a full 18 playoff because it was the U.S. Open. I actually heard he asked if he could just not, and Tiger Woods told him, don't worry, this will be quick and painless. Just shut your eyes and shut up.
Speaking of,
it's just tough.
God, you're killing it with these segues. Speaking of quick and painless.
Oh, sure.
The WGC Match Play 2006, this is something that it's not as well known of a moment, but it's one of my favorites. So sure. Stephen Ames kind of looks like a chimpanzee. Always thought that. He made remarks that basically lit a fire under Tiger. He was like, you know, Tiger was kind of spraying it that year. He says, Tiger's gettable. Like, I could beat Tiger. And Tiger heard that.
Yep.
And he was asked after the round if Stephen Ames' remarks affected him. And he says, you might say that, quote, as I said, 9-8, end quote.
Oh, dear.
The guy beat him 9-8.
That's a tough pill to swallow.
And he was smiling, too. You know that Tiger smile. He loves it.
Yeah. I mean, finishing the match play on the 10th hole, that's brutal. You might just quit, actually, at that point.
How many workouts do you think he got in that day since he got done so early?
Oh, he probably clean and jerked 3-4 Perkins waitresses.
Sure, maybe use your CrossFit trainer before it was really CrossFit.
Exactly. Yeah, he's pre-CrossFit.
Sure.
Okay. I'm going with my number one. This is my absolute favorite. This is what I watched to get jacked up before a round. Tiger's Twirl of God at the 2009 President's Cup at Harding Park in San Fran. I think you all remember this. He's wearing the President's Cup outfit. He's looking in shape. He's in command of his powers. He's got about a 4-iron and just power cuts the fuck out of this thing to about 15 feet. And as he does, he walks towards the hole. He gets the Tiger March. And I have never seen a club twirl with as much ferocity as I have in this moment. I think people are club twirling just to try to get back to that particular moment in 2009, because it is the biggest. The opposite team, okay, internationals, I think watched that club twirl and unanimously said to themselves, "Ah, fuck, we're fucked. Let's pack it in. We're done." It's the biggest fuck you in sports, and it's a thing of beauty. It's why I play golf, so I can achieve a club twirl like that maybe one day before I kick it up.
Wasn't there a tournament, maybe it was a pro-am or something, where Charles Barkley had Tiger twirl in front of him? He said, "Boy, if you club twirl in front of me again, I'll beat your ass with that club." Didn't he say that? Was it yeah, Barkley?
It was Barkley. And had Tiger twirled the way he did in 09 on that particular shot, Charles Barkley would have been murdered right then and there. That's how much power was in that club twirl.
Oh, yeah. He gone. Yeah, okay. My number three. That's a great one. My number three is, I had to say, it was tough. It was between the Phoenix Open hole in one and the Canadian Open bunker shot over the water, 213 yards, iron.
Oh, dear. Jesus.
Yeah, it was the Canadian Open bunker shot.
I mean,
I can't even imagine what was going through Stevie's mind when he said, "Yeah, I'm gonna go right over it."
Yeah. I mean, when I have a 100-yard bunker shot, I'm like, "Oh, fuck, this is gonna be intense." 213 yards over water, you're fucking crazy. And also,
about the lip.
Yeah. Oh yeah, look out for that lip when you're hitting that 4-iron out of the bunker.
Unbelievable. All right. Well, speaking of hitting 213-yard shots over the water.
Big segue guy today. Big segue guy.
Huge segue guy. It's coming naturally. His spine had to have been rubber at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? He's new. Yeah.
Right now, it's a little bit opposite. It's fused.
Yeah, there's fusion.
We keep talking about, hear a lot about the fusion surgery, and we're really high on Tiger right now. So, as respected journalists, we have to show both sides.
Of course.
So, I'm just going to read a quote from Doc Rod, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, Doc Rod.
Chiropractor
specialist about the spine. And I'm just going to read this quote. Quote, "Fusion can't heal the whole spine. Once a fusion heals, the level or levels that have been fused should not cause further pain or require further treatment down the road." Positive, right? Tiger says no more pain. Mm-hmm. Great. We're all happy he's going to win every major.
Right.
But Doc Rod cautions that if the underlying problem is arthritis, which Tiger is getting older, other levels of the spine can be affected and wear out over time. Fusion is not a fix for the entire spine. We can't change the natural progression of arthritis in other areas of the spine, he says. The good news is that we can surgically address specific areas of damage and effectively alleviate symptoms. End quote.
Okay.
I just wanted to throw that out there because I feel like the mentality, the perception is, he basically has a metal spine. He's fused.
Right. Yeah.
And he's good to go. That thing's not coming apart.
No.
Right?
Right. But he's bionic.
It's possible. So we need to be careful. And his number of recoils.
I liked it.
And slamming into the ground as he block cuts one.
Yeah.
Wow. He needs to watch it because arthritis can play a role. And I'm throwing that out there.
Okay. However, flip side. Fair and balanced. If we get another, let's say, 5 years of primetime Tiger back, are we thinking, and let's just say the end game is catastrophic, okay? The guy's in a wheelchair. Are we thinking in that 5 years' time, we might have some advances in biomechanical science that at least will allow him to walk again?
Hmm.
Okay, so we get the 5 years now plus some type of mechanically altered bionic tiger that just kind of ambles around and says hello at the Masters. Do we take that trade-off?
I mean, I take them as long as we can get them, right? And right. Maybe by that time, the caddies will be gone too. Maybe they'll all be rovers, you know, the automated driverless caddies.
You get me a rover and a rangefinder, and why do I need a caddy?
I mean, that's a great point, although, you know, these pros, they got their buddies on the bags.
So that's true. I mean, we're all of a sudden firing big shots at caddies. We love the caddies. Let's keep it chill. Let's hope the Tiger's in a good place. Maybe we move on.
Sure. Okay. Let's get to the good stuff here. The stats you didn't know. We're going to reel off the unbelievable stats that I'm sure some of you have read, but we tried to find some that are a little bit buried under the fold here.
Yeah, right? these are like, this is a great thing to read, to listen to go search out yourselves, because we had a lot of years, especially people that are newer to the game, where you forgot how completely fucking dominant this guy was at golf, and you read some of these stats and it reminds you that there is and was no parallel in the game, and maybe never will be again. So why don't you kick it off, Evs?
Okay. Tiger Woods is credited with 40 career wins on the European Tour, third most all time. I will caveat that the big cat, LT Gray, has never played a full season on the European Tour. So basically what that means is he got paid $1 million as an appearance fee to go play overseas. And he says, okay, cool. And then he just went.
Yeah, so he's like, he had a vacation planned with one of his mistresses to like Monaco. And he's like, oh shit, babe. We could use some extra spending cash for the casino. You know what? Fuck it. Let me go play France real quick, and I'll just win the tournament, and we'll get a little extra spending scratch for the Le Casino.
Third most all time.
Yeah.
All right, you go.
Jesus Christ. Okay, this one's fucking absurd, and I think most mortal golfers will shit themselves when they hear this. From 2002 to 2005, Tiger had 1,540 putts from 3 feet and in on the PGA Tour. He missed three times. Three fucking times.
1,540 putts.
From 3 feet and in. And they talked about it at the Hero World Challenge. They said he's looking mid-season form on these short putts.
Of course.
That was all I was thinking about when I was watching these. Is if you have missed three times from that distance, are you ever stepping up to the ball and thinking this isn't going in?
And he was looking at the ball. He wasn't even doing the Spieth look at the hole thing.
I mean, sit the fuck down.
Imagine if he was doing that.
I can't.
Wow. That's unbelievable. Okay. Yeah. Number three. Woods has spent 683 weeks as world number one. That's a little over 14 years for you kids at home that can't add like Strat. And that's 352 weeks more than any other player. That's more than 6 years in official world golf ranking history. Greg Norman is second. So to put that in context, 14 years as world number one, Strat, what he did in 14 years is he made it from birth to freshman year of high school during that span. All you did was make it to high school.
That's all I did.
Tiger Woods was the number one player in the world for that long.
Okay. Well, that really puts it into perspective, doesn't it? Yeah,
you know, that's what I like to do. Okay.
Okay. All right. We're getting into major territory now.
Sure.
He won 10 majors before he was 30 years old. Okay. Since the first Masters was held in 34, the only player to even win 5 majors before turning 30 was the Golden Bear Jack Nicklaus, who won 7. Okay. Spieth has 3. He's 24. Rory has 4. He's 28. Spread it on. Spread it on.
Wow. That, hey, you know what that is? A lot of cash.
A lot of cash.
Speaking of cash, Woods has earned more than $110 million in his PGA Tour career. That's just official earnings on the tour. Like, let's not talk endorsements.
Yeah.
The year before he turned pro, the tour's all-time career earnings leader was Greg Norman at $9.59 million. 9.59, not even a 10. Not even double digits. Woods is at triple digits.
That actually, okay, so I'm going to veer off course a little bit, but I read an interesting article in an in-flight magazine, by the way.
Oh.
when Tiger came onto the scene, golf was in a very different place, okay? The guys that were actually making the most money were the dudes on the senior tour, because it was all of the old guy. It was the Jacks. It was the, you know, Chichi Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, all of these old cats that people knew and loved from golf, because the new guys, they just didn't have it. That is the period of time when Tiger showed up, and all of a sudden the PGA became relevant again, and people started to throw serious fucking cash at the game. So not only, I mean, was he the most dominant player in golf, but much like Arnold Palmer, he is the reason that these guys make the insane amounts of money that they do today. I mean, he took the game into the modern era of hyper cash in sports, which is fucking insane. And yep. Also, as he was doing that, he was busy just winning all of that shit.
Oh, yeah. 40 in Europe, so.
Yeah, okay. And you know what? What's a great way to make sure that you win $110 million? You don't miss cuts. Mm. Woods has missed 15 cuts on the PGA as a professional. We're not going to talk about the withdrawals because, you know, pre-fusion. Sure. To put that in context, Jordan Spieth, he's missed 13 cuts. Okay, so Jordan, who's 24, has missed 13. Tiger, who is something, has missed 15.
Wow.
Let that simmer, okay?
Wow.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, there you have it. I mean, the only other thing I'd love to ask you is, where do we think he's going to make his comeback, start of the schedule? I mean, normally it's Torrey, but a lot of folks out there want that to be the last place that he goes. It's fucking long, thick, rough.
Yeah. I feel like Hawaii would be
which can't be good for his back.
I feel like Hawaii would be a great start. You know, you get a lot of those big, long drives. You run out those fairways. It's pretty straightforward. It's kind of a chill atmosphere. Still kind of Hero Challenge-esque. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see him out with the Lays.
What would happen if he foregoes Hawaii, doesn't play in Career Builder in La Quinta, skips Torrey, and the week before tells everyone on Super Bowl weekend he has taken up the waste management for the first time in a while. First of all, we'll be there.
Obviously. I mean, we'll chlamydia rates in the Phoenix metropolitan area are going to skyrocket. Okay. The 16th will turn into Tau. Okay. There's going to be a fucking pool club. The place will almost perhaps possibly shut down. We'll be in the thick of it. And I mean, the chances that he holds out on the par three, I'd say probably strong to quite strong.
And remember, after Waste Management is Pebble, which I'm sure he's going
to
play.
Has to.
The next week is the Genesis Open at Riviera, which you know he's going to play.
He loves
Riviera. And who doesn't? Be there too.
Of course we will.
Might even be a Pebble too. We might just do that whole swing. And then it's the Honda. And then he goes right into the WGC, Mexico.
So, I think he does whatever he feels best to make sure that he shows up to the Masters in tip top.
Yeah, because he's definitely going to play in the WGC Mexico, and that's not until March. So you've got to think, from all the tournaments up until the Honda in late Feb, he's got to play at least one of them. So the question is it going to be Torrey? Is it going to be Hawaii, Pebble, or does he start at Riviera? Where he's from.
Wow. I think Riv is a lock. I think Pebble is a lock. Whichever one of those comes first, I couldn't tell you.
Pebble's first, February 8th. So mark it on the calendar. Okay. Strat says at least February 8th, Tiger will be back.
At least. Starting this year. It's an all but a guarantee.
Okay. Lots to mull over. All right. Yeah. Well, that does it for this quick deep dive on why Tiger Woods is basically Bitcoin. And we're just going to end this episode with the Kevin Chappell soundbite, bringing you guys behind the scenes when he co-hosted the clinic with his foundation and saw Tiger hitting incredible shots before he actually came back to the world of golf. It's actually pretty fun to listen to this now, having the context of seeing it actually happen at the Hero. So we're just going to end the episode with this soundbite.
So thinking to myself the whole time, you know, you're only like 6 days into hitting balls, it sounds like this, huh? And so he starts talking about hitting shots, and this is what I do to shape it, this is what I do to hit it high, hit it low. So he starts hitting one. So he hits one high, I hit one that goes a little higher. And he's like, oh. And so then he hits one low, and I hit one equally as low. And so he's like, oh, one of these, it's going to be one of these clinics, I see. So then the wind's blowing like 20 off the right. So then he hits a cut shot that was dead straight, but it was pretty impressive because the wind's blowing so hard off the right. So I hit one, and it falls a little left, and he's like, not bad. You know, he kind of like him haws at it. So then he's like, all right, can you hit this one? And he aims 60 yards right. And he's like, you have to start it over there at that tree, and it has to land right of that flag. And it was like this big 60-yard hook. And I'm like, sure, let's try it. So he hits it, and he hits it to like 3 feet.
Are you serious?
Okay. Yeah, I'm like, okay. That's when I really started questioning how good he is, or maybe he's been practicing a little longer than what we've been told.
And he's just talking shit to you, right?
Pretty much. It's very laid back, and he kind of, you know, he gives it his little sarcastic laugh, like, gotcha. And sure enough, I didn't execute the shot, and that was kind of enough said. And then we started hitting four irons, and it was, you know, same wind, and it's hard to tell how far they're going or relative to each other, but, I mean, his ball sounded great. He was changing heights and changing spins wonderfully, and but then he did before we started the clinic, say he couldn't hit any drivers. We got to hitting drivers, and he basically just started answering questions and told me to hit a few drivers, and that was the end of it. But
that's awesome.
To see him progress the way he did, you know, I'm as big a fan of the game as anyone, and you know, I look forward to obviously getting to compete against him in the Bahamas next week, but also getting to see how he's playing and where his game is.
And just as the sun rises and sets in Scotland, so too have we come to the end of another Partrain. Be sure to follow us at the Partrain on Instagram and Twitter, and of course subscribe to us on iTunes. And may your glasses always stay full and your ball always end up in the bottom of the cup.